This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Supremes singing that song. That's a good one. They were at the top of Motown at the time. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, November the 1st, All Saints Day in the Christian calendar, by the way. Got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Nina Schaefer of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to her about how Bidenomics could be hazardous to your health and to your health care. So stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And FBI Director Christopher Wray, he's testifying yesterday at a House hearing. He seems to swallow his tongue when he was asked if the U.S. is safer now under President Biden. We're going to look into that one as well. And an exorcist priest warning people against using Ouija boards. You remember Ouija boards? You ever have one? The game that seems to talk with the dead? So we'll look into that story as well. And in our ultimate top 10, this being All Saints Day, the top 10 most popular saints. Indeed, stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay at the best price that I have ever found in Tampa Bay, go over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. And get the best haircut in a great environment. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever, I can guarantee you from personal experience, use Arbor Life. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All righty now. So the Israeli war continues on. A drone attack on a U.S. base in Syria was thwarted today. Two drones targeted Syria's called Al-Tanf region. The drones were disabled by the base defense system. The thwarted attack comes as the U.S. and coalition forces in Iraq and Syria have been attacked now 27 times, at least, since October the 17th. And of these attacks, 16 are in Iraq, 11 are in Syria. They included a mix of one-way attack drones and rockets. Most of these were successfully stopped, disrupted. Most failed to reach their targets. One contractor, a U.S. contractor, has died as a result of a heart attack when he was warned of an oncoming attack. Several others were injured. Defense officials claim Iranian forces are believed to have backed the attacks. What are we going to do about it other than say don't? That's Biden's scary message to Iran. I'm sure it's going to work. Speaking of the Israeli war, Almost 10,000 people now have been killed in the war on both sides, 9,900. That includes at least 1,400 Israeli civilians and soldiers, 35 Americans. Gaza claims about 8,500 Palestinians are dead. That's in Gaza. Another 111 killed in the West Bank. And there are about 240 hostages right now, of which 10 Americans are included in that group. So that's what's going on over there, as that thing will be going on for a long time. There's this talk about whether or not Prime Minister Netanyahu should suspend operations while they try to get some of these hostages back. He said, we're going to go straight ahead. There's not going to be a ceasefire. In the meantime, the White House is blasting Republicans for what they call an unprecedented bar in their bill that gives $14-plus billion to Israel in their war fight. Republicans rolled out a 13-page bill on Monday. It would completely offset the foreign aid by rescinding the $14.3 billion from the Inflation Reduction Act. Remember that thing that was passed last year? Specifically, the bill targets some of the $80 billion that package allocated towards IRS for audits on wealthy individuals. So they want to take money from that and move it over towards Israel. The deputy press secretary for Biden penned a memo titled, House Republicans Set an Unprecedented Bar for Helping Israel Defend Itself. He says, despite strong bipartisan agreement that the U.S. must support Israel as it defends itself after the worst terrorist attack in history, House Republicans engaging in dangerous political stunt for the first time in American history, demanding emergency national security funding be fully offset. In other words, don't take any money out of the Inflation Reduction Act. Every penny of that is important. So there you go. So this was interesting. I don't know if anybody was watching it. I was not, but I saw some video on it. FBI Director Christopher Wray was before a House committee yesterday, and he went silent. He went silent when he was asked whether or not the country is safer under our great President Joe Biden. The question was asked by Rick Scott. Remember him? He was the governor of Florida. He's now a Republican senator. Scott asked, is the United States safer from foreign terror threats today? Are we safer than when Joe Biden took office, from the day he took office? So Christopher Wray took an extended pause, sat silently, appeared to be in deep thought, before saying, what I should say to you is that the terror threats have elevated, but I also think there are a lot of things the country has done throughout law enforcement to be better prepared to deal with them. So, in effect, he didn't directly answer it, but he didn't give Biden a vote of confidence on that one.
Well, that's where I would say, okay, go ahead and name those, would you? Well, I don't have them in front of me now.
Scott gets on Twitter, or I guess it's called X now. He said, I asked Ray a simple question. Is the U.S. safer today than it was before Joe Biden took office? After nearly 10 seconds of silence, he finally admitted what we all know. Quote, the terror threats have elevated. Well, that's what Scott had to say.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. What we should do to prove this is we should probably get a group of, say, four or five young men that are American citizens, born here, whatever, but kind of have that Middle Eastern look to them. Grow the beards, whatever you've got to do. Drop them off at the border on the bad side, which would be the Mexican side. Drop them off, see how long it takes them to get into the country, detected or undetected.
Yeah.
And video their journey. You know, we got body cams and all. Everybody's got a phone with a video.
I think your point is that they'd probably be able to walk in and nobody would give them a second glance.
And we'll even give them that look of the Middle Eastern because, you know, we don't want to profile anybody. That's not allowed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's sneaking in is only Mexicans.
It's scary to think who's gotten in. some of these people, these terrorists that have gotten
scary
in.
That we don't know who they are or
we don't know
they
where
are,
or, who,
or where they are.
You are right. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, going to switch gears a little bit. Nina Schaefer of the Heritage Foundation will be with us. We are going to talk about Bidenflation, Bidenomics, whatever you want to call it. It's hazardous to your health care.
Like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for listening. I'm delighted to have Nina Schaefer join us. Nina is the director of the Center for Health and Welfare Policy at the Great Heritage Foundation. She's got a piece on the Daily Signal, Bidenflation, Hazardous to Your Health Care. Nina, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely, our pleasure. So you talk in this piece, and it's a very well-written piece, about how Bidenomics is actually driving up the cost of health care. Of course, you won't hear that from Joe Biden and his administration. But tell us a little bit about how Bidenflation is working when it comes to our health care costs.
Well, sure. So the whole premise behind the Biden administration's policy on health care is really that government can do it all for you, and that government is the right way to deliver health care to the American people. We've seen increasing enrollment in government-run health care plans since before the Affordable Care Act, so more and more people are in government-run plans, and yet the government can't even run the plans that they have in a way that's making any progress that they promised the American people. Whether you look at Obamacare, Medicaid, or Medicare, all the costs are going up. They're not coming down as they promised.
Yeah. In fact, I think you mentioned that Medicare is going to be a more... premiums are going to rise by almost $10 a month for next year. You know, here's the thing, and we've been talking about this forever on our show. If you treat health care like you would treat any other industry in the free market, it would be so much better off than deciding to have the government take over a large portion of it under the guise that they need to make sure certain people get certain kinds of coverage. I mean, ever since we went into the Great Society in 1965 with Lyndon Johnson, the cost of health care has gone shooting through the roof, has it not?
Yeah, and here's the thing. When you look at how, if you look at like what the rest of the economy is doing, this is their whole plan, is that there wouldn't be a market economy to determine these things, that the government, with its sledgehammer, will determine how health care is delivered. It will set regulations. It creates a one-size-fits-all system that will leave people and patients out of the care system altogether. People are not going to get the level of care that they're getting today. And we actually have more concern about what the future might look like if the government continues to start adding new regulations and mandates onto the healthcare system. So in essence, we back into kind of a single payer system where the government's the one that decides what care you get, not your doctor.
Yeah. You mentioned also that during the COVID-19 emergency, they enhanced subsidies. They had temporary boosts. You know, once you get boosts and subsidies, et cetera, they don't tend to go away, it seems like. But, I mean, all of these things that Biden did to contribute to this whole problem with healthcare just getting worse and worse and worse. I remember thinking when Obamacare came out, I thought, oh, my God. And he's talking about how it's going to help and lower costs and you're going to keep your doctor. And we just talked about that on the show, how it was just going to be the absolute worst thing. And it's like watching, it's like, if I might say this, Nina, I know I'm going on too much, but it's like sitting on the side of a hill and watching two trains that are rounding the bend coming towards each other. They don't know what's going to happen. You do, and you're sitting there and you can't do a damn thing about it.
And their solution, in particular with Obamacare, you're right. They promised people's premiums are going to come down. The system's going to be great. We're going to get everyone's going to be covered and we're going to have lower premiums. But the way they do it is they simply throw more taxpayer money to actually mask that the actual premiums are going up. So some people may be subsidized and they don't see that the premiums are going up. But underlying all this, they have not met their goal, which is to say that they would bring down the cost of premiums. And when you have premiums rising like this, that means more taxpayer funding for subsidies, as well as the people who have to pay the full freight without a subsidy, are really getting kind of the short end of the stick. And so their plan is, well, we'll just incrementally, little by little, just continue to make subsidies more available to more people. In the end of the day, the country can't afford that level of subsidization, and it is really not doing what we should be doing, which is removing kind of the anti-competitive regulations that are in the system, giving greater flexibility so that the market can adapt and adjust based on what consumer demands are and where the price points are. And instead, we're going down a path incrementally. You're so right when you say anything is temporary, the next phase is temporary becomes permanent. That we're really heading down a path where the plan is to have the government control the entire healthcare system and dictate what kind of healthcare we get from Washington, D.C.
We're talking with Nina Schaefer. She is the director of the Center for Health and Welfare Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She's written a piece, Bidenflation, Hazardous to Your Healthcare, in the Daily Signal. Just everything seems to be going wrong. You know, I remember, I'm old enough to remember, believe it or not, when I was a little boy, the doctor came to the house. And he had a little black satchel. I remember it so well. And the healthcare was never a major issue in a typical family at that time. Now it is. You know, now it is. Now that the government has gotten more and more involved and the free market less and less involved in it, if there was some way, you know, I would think most of these people that are knee deep in this whole thing, you know, in Washington, they really know deep down that the free market would make this situation with healthcare so much better. And actually, I would think more available to everybody in the long run.
Well, your point on the physicians, I do think there is a growing movement of people saying that aren't being subsidized or aren't being shackled to government plans, saying we need better alternatives. There are physicians who are kind of going back to the old style way of doing business, kind of home visits, being more available to their patients, things like that. But, you know, it's a minority. And I think the challenge we face is we might end up in a system, a two-tiered system of the haves and the have-nots, mm-hmm. where the people who can get out of the government-run system, who have the means or the ability to, will, but it leaves the majority of the people stuck in a government-run system. And that's not the future of healthcare that we want.
No.
We should want a healthcare system where everyone has access to the best care they can. That's why people come to the United States to get their health care from abroad. The systems there aren't working for them, very government-run systems. So they come to the U.S., whether it's from Canada or the U.K. But I think that it's almost ironic that an administration that claims to say that they want to provide, you know, equity and equity to the healthcare system, et cetera, but in reality what they're doing is they're going to diminish the quality of care for everyone. And that's not what we want. We want to have the system rise to the occasion and have everyone be able to access the best care they can, not just a select few who will get outside of the system.
Yeah, it would be amazing if the government, and this is a dream, of course, but the government all of a sudden said, you know what, this thing ain't working when we're involved, so we're going to pull out of this. We're going to let the free market seep back into it, let them figure out innovative systems, etc. It would be amazing, in my opinion, how quickly the product would get better and the prices would go down. But of course, all these people that are working in the federal government tied directly into whatever you want to call it, the Affordable Care Act or government subsidies or whatever, when it comes to health care, they'd lose their jobs.
Well, the best, I think, antidote to kind of fix all this is really to let the consumer, the patient, the person, control the dollars. If you allow them, rather than the government, to dictate where those dollars go, if you allow the patients to use the dollars, we will begin to break out of really this kind of monopoly of government-run health care. Where you allow the patients, very similar to what we say in school choice, why should the money be locked into a failing public school? Why should we let our money be locked into a failing health care system that's government-run? We've got to give people the flexibility and the choice to take their money and run.
Okay, are you talking like flexible spending accounts for healthcare?
All of the above. You know, if you're, it depends on what program you're in. If you're in the Medicaid program, by all means, we should allow those people to buy health insurance as you do in the private market, like the rest of Americans. Low-income people are no better, are just as well suited to buy private health insurance as anyone else. In the welfare system, we don't give them food stamps and tell them they have to go to a government-run grocery store to buy their food. We let them buy food in the supermarkets, the private sector. The same should be true for low-income people in the Medicaid program. And in Obamacare as well and others, we should allow people to take the dollars, put them into an account. You could allow them to use them to pay for premiums, cost-sharing. These types of models are really, I think, what the future really holds. If you think about it, we did it in the retirement system where people had, you know, very kind of expensive retiree benefits, but eventually plans moved to saying we're going to do a 401k style where the money is all kind of collected. That's the same kind of thing we should be looking for in healthcare moving forward. Allow people to contribute into accounts and allow people to buy the kind of healthcare insurance, coverage, plans, services, whatever they want, they should be able to use those dollars accordingly.
Yeah, I think it makes a great deal of sense, Nina. Are Republicans on board with that concept?
You know, I think people realize that patients need to be able to control the dollars and decisions in the healthcare system. Government regulation is not going to get us there. And so I think there's broad understanding and appreciation that we want to move to a patient-centered system. And the best way to do that is to actually move the dollars and decisions out of Washington and into the hands of the people mm-hmm. themselves.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I don't know that it's a huge, huge issue right now when it comes to the 2024 presidential election. You know, the economy in general and the cost in general is a huge issue. Not so much focused on healthcare as it has been in the past, but it's so important. You know, even under Donald Trump, prices for healthcare were still going up. Is there any voice that you can name, say, in government these days or in Congress or whatever, that seems to be standing up for this a little bit more than others? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and I do think that there are a lot of members. I could, you know, there are plenty of there's plenty of activity happening actually in Congress, but I think you're right. It's kind of drowned out by a lot of the other efforts, the other issues that are more front and center, you know, whether they're sensational things or actually real pocketbook issues. Healthcare is just a subset of really what the American people are facing with higher costs at the grocery store, at the gas pump, to get a mortgage for your house. It's all bundled up in there. There is good progress being made in Congress through the committees the way it should be done, where members are engaging and introducing legislation that will help kind of clear away the overregulation that we have today and really finding ways to give patients more flexibility. We have activity on greater transparency, on improving the health accounts, health savings accounts. There's a whole lot of activity happening in Congress, but you're right, it kind of does sometimes get lost as it moves up to the evening news at night.
Well, Nina, I'm so delighted there are people like you that are out there with the message. Don't think that you're Don Quixote, you know, waving at windmills. I think a lot of people are on your side on this. I am. And so many people, I think, realize, like you do, that the less government that we have that is involved in our health care, the better it's going to be for all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much, Nina. All right. Nina Schaefer, makes good sense. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, listen to this, an exorcist priest, you know, the ones that cast out demons. Yeah, they're still around in the Catholic Church. He is warning people against using Ouija boards. Ouija boards. You know the game that you talk to the dead with? Your dead relatives, etc. I think Ed's still got a Ouija board. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about it.
Something without wanting love.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
That whatever it is. Well, we're back here. It's Wednesday on Freedom Works, and I had mentioned earlier Christopher Wray talking before a House committee. I stand corrected. It was a Senate committee that he was talking with, because Senator Rick Scott is definitely not in a House committee. He's in a Senate committee. And speaking of Senate committees, our good friend, the guy we all love, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, was questioned by a Senator Josh Hawley about a guy that is in his under his dictate, you know, in his office, that is going after Jews. Josh Hawley questioned Secretary Mayorkas about one of his employees who was praising terrorists but still remains employed. Listen to what this guy said. Let me go back to... So Hawley says to Mayorkas, what about people who say things like this on October the 7th? Quote, F Israel. I'm cleaning up the language here, he says. F Israel, the government and its military. Are you ready for your downfall? Unquote. So Holly says, people who say things like F Israel and any Jew who supports Israel, may your conscience haunt your dreams until your last breath. That's pretty extreme rhetoric, don't you think, Secretary Mayorkas? Well, Mayorkas knew where this guy was leading. And Holly said, well, this person works for you. This person works for you.
Oops.
The DHS, well, no, Mayorkas knew it. The DHS worker in question is, quote, an employee of the Department of Homeland Security. And he posted these comments on October the 7th. And, of course, Mayorkas wouldn't say about whether or not he'd fire him.
Yeah,
can you believe that? Can you believe a guy like that is still in their employ? They're going to probably put him on some sort of a suspension.
Some of the stuff is going there. Nothing surprises me anymore.
No,
but I looked in the dictionary the other day under deer in the headlights, and a picture of Mayorkas came up.
You're right.
He always does
look like he's blinding.
There's a guy that's got a high-level job. I mean, he's in charge of the border.
Very scary.
I mean, if I were the people coming across and I saw that guy standing there, I'd tell everybody, come on, we're good, let's go.
Yeah, really?
He's a ding-dong.
We got our buddy, the master barber, Andrew Ceresi, with us. And Andrew, I don't know if you watched any of those Senate hearings yesterday. I did not watch them. I only got bits and pieces on it. But, you know, Christopher Wray and Alejandro Mayorkas and all of these people, no wonder people have lost confidence in our government.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, at that conference yesterday, didn't they ask something about the status of our safety condition in this country today?
Yep. Yes.
And what did he say about that?
Yeah, we talked about it. Christopher Wray swallowed his tongue. He wouldn't directly answer it. He said, well, we're at a high level of threat or something like that.
Right.
Rather than saying, yeah, Biden is a complete jerk who doesn't know what the hell he is doing, and we got to get him out of office as quickly as possible.
What he should do is he should just be truthful and say, you know, I don't know about you guys, but we're so safe here, I'm moving to Canada.
Hey, you're not any safer there either.
No, you're probably right about that. So I got a story here. I was going to bring it up maybe after, but maybe I'll bring it up with you, because you're a Catholic, as am I. Andrew, an exorcist priest, says Ouija boards and other attempts to converse with the dead are spiritually dangerous practices that should not be viewed as innocent fun. Did you ever play on a Ouija board when you were a kid?
No, I never did. You know why?
Why?
I was always afraid of them because I always heard that story.
I had heard them too, but I did play on one.
But you're more devious than I am.
I am devious.
If you knew of somebody that was going to do that, you had to make your way into that house and do something to make some noises.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You'd scare the hell out of the people doing it.
Flip the breaker off or something like that.
You remember how it worked? Remember how it worked?
Everybody put their hand
on this little movable thing that slides around on the board.
I'd just rather put the movie in.
So, I could tell you a good story. It'll really make you laugh. But remember the old man I took care of, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Candy sold his condo. Well, the gentleman's wife swears that the condo is haunted because he asked my friend Marty, he says, hey, did that guy die in this place or what? My friend Marty says, well, I was in New York. I really don't know. All I know is he got sick. Because if he asked me that, I would tell him, oh, you got no idea. He died in the kitchen. He was dying. He crawled into the living room, and he started gasping for air, and he made it to the bathroom. And I would have given him a hell of a story. But this guy believes that the house is haunted.
We're talking about this Vietnam veteran that you were taking care of for a long time towards the end of his at the end of his life, and so this guy believes.
I think they're going to have to call the exorcist priest.
Maybe this exorcist priest. By the way, this exorcist priest is Father Dan Rehill, and he says we too often forget that there is much more to this world than meets the eye. Angels, demons, spirits, and souls do exist. And they can have an impact on our life. Now, this
I believe him.
Yeah, he's.
I believe him.
Well, he's a priest at the Diocese of Nashville in Tennessee. He received his exorcism training in 2018 in Rome, and then became an exorcist priest. I guess is that all he would do? You know, get up in the morning, get his little suitcase. Remember the movie The Exorcist, like that priest in The Exorcist?
Yeah.
Wander around visiting homes.
He'd make a good living today out there. Are you kidding me?
There's a new Exorcist out in the theaters right now.
Is there?
Yeah, it's not very good. I just watched it the other night. Anyway, guys.
You know,
go ahead.
Listen to what's going on in this country. We're talking about The Exorcist.
I know. Well, maybe we need an exorcism of the country. Yeah, what do you think?
It's not much of a difference.
We are reliving 1938 in Nazi Germany right now in the United States of America. And this American youth today, you know what they remind me of? The brown shirts. They were the Hitler youth. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I certainly remember it.
Well, why don't we start calling them what they are today? Let's call them the brown shirts.
Yeah, there's all kinds of trouble. By the way, speaking about campuses and what's going on there, believe it or not, there is a haven, a university that is offering Jews, a Catholic university, if I can find the story here, that is offering Jews respite. Jewish students, let me find the story here. I know I got it. It's
you may as well call it asylum today.
Franciscan University becomes a safe haven for Jewish students to help you. Huh?
Wouldn't you call that an asylum today that they're going to for safety?
I guess it might be. To help Jewish students facing hostility on other college campuses, Franciscan University, Steubenville, Ohio, a private Catholic school, has created an expedited transfer process so that Jewish students can come immediately over. Says we want to offer them the chance to transfer immediately to our college.
That's a good thing. I hope they have armed guards there.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're allowing these protests to happen on the campuses to begin with. Why?
Well, you know, that's one good thing Ron DeSantis said.
Listen, that's private property, is it not? Or, you know, don't let them do there. And guess what? They don't get the exposure they want.
Well, you know, it's a free speech issue. And, okay, of course, colleges have supposed to be sanctions of free speech. But listen to this. Nikki Haley, who's running, of course, for a Republican presidential nomination, says most U.S. companies do not want to hire anybody who proverbially link arms with terrorist groups. And she said that pro-Hamas protesters in the United States need to be ID'd to warn future employers. I don't know how far you can get it. That doesn't sound like a real good idea for free speech. And she should know something about free speech. She's a former U.S. ambassador to the UN. But she said, she says that these college students and professors that are supporting terrorist organizations, they need to be called out. And so anyway, that's kind of an interesting thought on it. What do you say about that, Andrew?
Well, you know, Paul, all I can say right now is the United States of America is falling apart. We got a bimbo brain for a president. We got bimbos in the administration. Meanwhile, they're trying Donald Trump in New York for he had money than he has.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's disgusting. I think this is total communism what they're doing to him. You know, I don't care who your nominee you like, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, what they're doing is communism.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think Trump is doing great so far. I mean, quite frankly, with all of these things going on, I'm not saying that in the long run it's not going to hurt
this,
him.
Is this one of those trials with that Letitia James ahead of it?
Yeah.
Didn't she come out and say, "I never said I was running"? You know, when I was running, I was going to get Donald Trump. Because the other day the whole speech before she got elected, how she was going after him by name and called him out and said, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you out of New York. I'm going to get you this and that."
Sure, she used it once she was running. It helped her get elected there.
Has anybody played that back to her?
You would think so.
You know?
Sounds like my ex-wife when I went through my divorce.
Start that.
Yeah. No, she was on the warpath. She was on the warpath. That's how that helped get her elected. That was like that was the basis of her campaign. I'm out to get Donald Trump.
Yeah, you know, Paul, all I can say at this point, the people better pray in this country.
Yeah.
Because we are going to get hit, and it's just a question of when.
It seems like we're in very dangerous ground right now.
What or when it happens, if it happens and when it happens, what actually happens to the country? Does the country actually fold back and do what it did on 9/11 and everybody come together? Or does it fragment like you can't believe? Like this is gonna this happened because of Trump. This happened because of Biden.
Well, I think we are so fragmented. Yeah, good question. Good point. Yeah,
we didn't have social media in 2001.
Exactly, we're so fragmented now. I don't think we're going to come together as quickly as we would, obviously, as we did in 2001.
9/11, we got all our news from the same place. We didn't have TikTok. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have Twitter or X or anything like that. It all came. It was on NBC, CBS, and it was all the same thing. And I didn't hear anybody say, you know, hey, you know, we got hit yesterday. Let's before we retaliate, let's think about this for a minute. You know, hold on. No, we wanted blood the next day after what happened.
Yes, we did.
This actually was happening over in Israel. But I just I wonder if and when or if it happens that where this country goes from there.
You know what? Just remember that in the year 2000, when we got hit on September 11th, there weren't as many Palestinians and Muslims in this country as they are today, and they were cheering in the streets in New Jersey, if you remember.
There were some that were, yeah.
You know the scariest part about those people? The scariest part about those people, what they did at a Russian airport in Russia.
I know. You're talking about that running around. They were trying to surround that Israeli plane, weren't they?
Russia doesn't play when it comes to that stuff. So
they're more no nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, it's always a pleasure to have you. And you're right; things look very bleak right now. We're hoping that we kind of get the sense knocked back into us. Hopefully, next year we're gonna. You know, whether it's Donald Trump or whoever, it's going to be a Republican, and we're going to try to put things back in place the way they should be.
I hope so, Paul, because, again, right now, there's not too much to celebrate.
No, there's not. You're right about that. Hey, by the way, so were you out trick-or-treating? Did you get a lot of candy last night?
I had 3 kids. That was it.
Really? I had 8.
Everybody's afraid. They're afraid to send their kids out.
Yeah, it's Halloween is no longer what it used to be. And I don't blame them. I don't blame the parents. I wouldn't send my kids out these days. It's a sad, sad commentary on our life in this country. Anyway, thanks, Andrew.
You guys have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you Friday.
I'll see you in about an hour and a half, so I'll get the whole story of Candy and...
you're going to go over there and get...
We're going to hear about... I'll hear about Candy's trip to France and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah?
You better play that stage until 5 o'clock.
There's lots to talk about, it sounds like. All right, my friend. Thanks. Okay, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to tell you, among other things, the top 10 most popular saints on this day, All Saints Day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Wednesday of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. If you can't listen live, Big Ed has got all our shows for you on podcast. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and away you go. Ed, you're going to get some get a kick out of this, I think. Anheuser-Busch came clean yesterday, reporting a 13.5% decline in U.S. revenue in the third quarter, mainly due to Bud Light. Sale of Bud Light began to tumble, of course, back in April, not long after the brand created and sent custom beer cans with this Dylan Mulvaney on them to mark her 365 days of girlhood. Why in God's name they wanted to mark that occasion, I'll never know. And they're asking that same question. The global brewing company conglomerate reported a 17.1% decline in North American sales volume during the third quarter. And, you know, interestingly enough, everywhere else, it's doing great. Budweiser's doing great worldwide, but not in the United States. They continue to suffer from Dylan Mulvaney.
I think they're coming back a little bit, but very slow. They're doing a big campaign right now with military veterans and first responders and stuff like that that lost their lives, donating money to families. And for more information, it's go to BudLight.com. It's not Budweiser.
No, BudLight.com.
So they specifically are doing that. So they're trying.
They're trying desperately.
They're trying to put the paste back in the toothpaste, you know,
yes,
back
indeed.
In the jar.
Yeah.
Back in the tube.
Yeah,
back in the tube. But it's going to. That's what should happen. That's what, you know, don't make some stupid mistake like that, because you're trying to please the few and not the many.
Yeah. Indeed, you are right about that. Before we get to our top 10, we always do a little sports. Did you know that the Las Vegas Raiders have fired not only their coach, they also fired their general manager after their Monday night loss?
Well, we saw that coming, because the team was in uproar. They had a players only meeting the week before, and you know, the guy's just not a good coach. Have you ever seen Mark Davis, the owner? This is Al Davis' son.
Oh, yes.
Mark Davis. Now, he's got that haircut where he's got like an eighth of an inch for bangs.
Oh.
And kind of the bowl cut.
Ah.
Like somebody. Now, my mother did this to me when I don't remember how old it was. I was either 9 or 10 or something.
She bought one of those.
No. She went old school. She didn't buy nothing. My bangs were hanging too far down to my eyes. She called me over one day and grabbed the front of my hair by my bangs and just literally took a scissors and chopped right across my forehead.
Oh, my goodness.
And left me with about that much bangs.
Oh, my goodness.
And I never let them hang in my face again.
No, I can imagine after that experience. No,
I had to let it grow. I had a stupid, I couldn't wear a hat in school, so I didn't wear hats. But anyway.
Yeah, when you're young like that and something like that happens.
Yeah,
you feel so embarrassed, you know.
And I didn't agree with it, but anyway, I'm just saying, Mark Davis, with all that money, you think you go to Andrew or something like that, get a decent haircut,
get a good haircut. Yeah, somebody should tell him. All right. Also, I see that in the World Series, the Texas Rangers are now up 3-1.
Yeah.
against the Houston Astros. Yeah. So it looks like Texas is on its way.
No, they're playing the Diamondbacks.
Oh, I'm sorry. What am I thinking?
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm forgetting. That was when they were playing for the championship in the American League.
Yeah.
They are up 3-1 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thank you for correcting me. Mm. So that's interesting. Looks like Texas is on its way to the World Series win.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it's time for our top 10. And this being All Saints Day, All Hallows, that's All Hallows or something. In fact, the Feast of All Hallows, the Solemnity of All Saints, and Hallow Mass, Christian solemnity celebrated in honor of all the saints of the church, whether they are known or unknown.
And we're not talking New Orleans saints.
No, we're not talking New Orleans saints. So here we go. This is from CatholicMission.org, the 10 most popular saints. Number 10, good old Saint Joan of Arc. Good old Saint Joan. Remember, she got burned at the stake.
Mm.
She fought for the French against the English way, way back. Number 9, Saint Peter, the first pope. Yeah, that's St. Peter. He's the rock, as Jesus called him. Number 8, St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas. He was considered one of the most intelligent saints, and he came up with all kinds of things about proving the existence of God in heaven. Number 7, St. Francis of Assisi. When I was young, if you wanted to pray to St. Francis, you always thought about pets, animals. He loved animals. Number 6. Well, they say this, they call it St. Mary the Virgin. I guess it's the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And they make her a saint in this one, but she's only in sixth place. Unless there's a different St. Mary. I didn't read into it. But I don't think so if it's St. Mary the Virgin. Do you?
No.
Okay. Number 5. St. Joseph. Yeah, Mary's husband, St. Joseph. Okay. Number 4. St. Anthony of Padua. St. Anthony, if you lost something, you prayed to St. Anthony that you would find it. He was the patron saint of losing stuff.
I'm taking your word on this because I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. But I remember
it. You lost me right after New Orleans Saints.
Number 3. St. Jude. St. Jude. You ever hear of St. Jude?
No.
Well, let me just tell you that St. Jude was considered the patron saint of lost causes. When everything else is going wrong, you prayed to St. Jude. St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, that founded by Danny Thomas. Yeah, that's the St. Jude we're talking about. Number 2, St. Christopher. You ever hear of him?
Yes.
Okay, St. Christopher is the one that you would always pray to be kept safe.
Mm.
And way back when I was a kid, you could buy St. Christopher medals and put them on your car, little statues of St. Christopher. Supposedly, it would keep you safe in your car.
Mm.
All right? All right, so here we go. Do you want to even take a guess at the one most popular saint?
Yeah. That Drew Brees, right?
St. Michael the Archangel.
Okay.
He was one of God's angels. And when the battle occurred, supposedly between Lucifer and God or whatever it was St. Michael that led the victory over St. Lucifer and sent St. Lucifer down below. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Friday. Be good out there. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Steve Kathan. Donald Trump Jr. is due on the stand today at the civil fraud trial in New York. Prosecutors allege the Trump Organization inflated the value of assets to get loans and tax breaks. Attorney Seth Berenzweig keeping tabs on the case.
What the prosecution will show, I believe, is that he was very key. He was involved. He's an owner. He's a senior officer, as he admitted in his deposition.
The former president is due to testify next week. He's denied any wrongdoing. Overseas, the push to get out of war-torn Gaza is underway. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
The crossing is open. We know that foreign passport holders are crossing the border. Officials say it will be about 400 or 500 who are allowed to cross today. There are also ambulances carrying extremely ill Palestinians. There will be about 90 of those crossing the border from Gaza into Egypt today.
Hamas claims more residential areas near a bombed-out refugee camp were hit today by an Israeli strike. Jordan, a key U.S. ally, has recalled